the United States versus Omateo de Ato.
May it please the court, counsel, I'm Heather Winslow, the Federal Defender Program. I represent Omateo Iote, who is the appellant in this matter. Mr. Iote, long before the time of his sentencing hearing, met with the government and provided the government with all truthful information he had about the offense of conviction and all relevant conduct.
But he did not give them all the information they asked about his bigger dealing in heroin. Isn't that true?
Your Honor, that is not true. The government asked specific questions about Mr. Iote's international travel. Mr. Iote provided responses to the government, and the government simply stated, "We don't believe you."
How many fake passports did he have?
Your Honor, he had no fake passports. What he had was a valid United States passport, a photocopy of an expired United States passport, a valid Nigerian passport, and a passport which had been bent or damaged in some way.
Wasn't there one where the individual was much taller than he was?
The government submits that there was a photograph in one of the passports that was not Mr. Iote. They've offered no evidence to show that it was not, other than its
mere
statement.
But that was a valid passport, you think?
There is no information that was an invalid passport.
But you say it was valid, even though it shows that he was 3 to 4 inches bigger.
Your Honor, I have not personally had the opportunity to investigate this particular passport. However,
that would have been helpful in the fact that you said.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Iote, during the course of the sentencing hearing, was given the opportunity to again provide explanations for his international travel, for documents including the passports which were found in his residence.
Did you just say the sentencing hearing?
I did, Your Honor.
Okay.
Judge Aspin reached the conclusion, I think correctly, that Mr. Iote had until the conclusion of that sentencing in which to provide all information. The government expressed some very specific concerns about facts or questions that it had for Mr. Iote. Judge Aspin provided us with the opportunity to respond to those concerns, which Mr. Iote did.
Now, Mr. Iote did not testify at the sentencing hearing.
He did not, Your Honor. So
how does he do this?
What occurred was Judge Aspin gave me the opportunity to meet with my client, to interview my client with respect to the government's questions, which it had made very clear. I spoke with my client, received answers to those questions, returned to the Assistant United States Attorney, provided those answers, and the Assistant United States Attorney stated very clearly that he was not interested in interviewing my client. The case law from this court is very clear that when the government affirmatively states it does not want information that the defendant has, or does not want the information the defendant has, the defendant is not obligated to provide that information in order to qualify for the safety valve reduction.
Now, of course, he didn't testify at that time either, did he?
He did not testify. He simply provided that information through myself. Judge Aspin did not provide us with the opportunity to present testimony on the record, rather just to have an additional proffer meeting.
No, but didn't he refuse to answer the interviewer's questions during the safety valve interview?
There were a number of interviews and discussions in this case. The first proffer interview, there were certain limits imposed. However, as is clear from the sentencing transcript, is also clear from the party's written submissions prior to sentencing, by the time the proffer sessions and conversations in this case were over, the government was given an opportunity to inquire about all subjects that it had expressed a desire to. As consistently with his statements through counsel at the sentencing hearing, Mr. Iote stated he did not have the information that the government was seeking.
Well, tell me this. Is it true that you terminated the safety valve interview when the government began asking questions about the fraudulent documents that had been found in his apartment?
It would not be accurate to say that I, as you might just slam books closed and said this interview is over. What occurred was these additional questions were asked. There was some discussion between the assistant United States attorney and myself about whether or not these questions were appropriate in a safety valve proffer. It was my position that they weren't. I presented what I suppose could be considered an attorney proffer. This would be my client's answer, but I don't believe this is appropriate. Based on that statement, the assistant stated that they were not interested, and the proffer session was terminated. I think it was a mutual decision to terminate the proffer session as opposed to...
Why? If he didn't cooperate.
Because it was not a productive session. Mr. Iotti had taken a position, had provided an explanation. The government simply stated...
In other words, he will cooperate the way he wants.
He will cooperate with the information he has, Your Honor.
The way he wants is what it comes down to and what you advise.
Consistent with the information he has.
You see, I think a problem here is that at first he seems to have denied knowledge of all but three of the trips. And then later at the sentencing hearing, he finally, or you finally represented, that he remembered taking 11 trips. Just after, according to the transcript, you had denied that he was the traveler. So, all of that's problematic.
Your Honor, it's somewhat context-specific in this case, considering that the government was presenting Mr. Iotti with the question, did you import heroin to Houston and New York during these trips, and he was saying no. But you are correct. At the sentencing hearing, Mr. Iotti stated clearly and through counsel, I can explain each of the trips which you've questioned me about, but in none of those trips did I import heroin into the United States. But in this case, this court need not even reach Judge Aspin's credibility determination because the subjects which the government sought to question Mr. Iotti about were not relevant conduct. They were not part of the same course of conduct.
Under these facts, how could we ever know this?
Your Honor, even the trips, even taking the government's submission of the international travel on its face, those trips occurred in 1999, 2000, 2001. Mr. Iotti was arrested in January of 2003. Upon his arrest, he immediately confessed to customs officials, or really upon being intercepted by customs officials, he immediately confessed to them, admitted that he had swallowed heroin, provided the name of the individual in Nigeria who had given him that heroin, explained the circumstances of the offense, and also explained and gave details about the individual who he was to meet in Chicago. These prior trips were so separated by time that absent some indication from the government that they are part of the same course of conduct, they are not relevant, they cannot be considered under the safety valve.
In your opinion, but in the government's opinion, otherwise.
Correct, Your Honor, but in determining whether or not these trips are part of the same course of conduct, you must consider not only the temporal proximity to the instant offense, but also other common factors. In those cases, Mr. Iotti flew in not to Chicago, but into Newark, New York, and Houston. We don't even have a common city.
That's very clever to do it that way. And most of these people that transport drugs operate that way.
Unless Your Honor have further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Matthew Getter for the United States. Your Honor, I first want to just clarify what appears to be a difference of recollection between myself and opposing counsel. There was only one proffer session, and that was the proffer session that's written about in the briefs, where at the beginning of the session, defense counsel asked for a proffer letter, we said no, and then certain areas were put off limits. During the course of the proffer, as we state in the brief, there was some leeway for us to ask more questions, but at a certain point, the proffer was cut off. By defense counsel. When we presented, I believe it was Indiana driver's licenses. At that point, counsel said, I'd like to talk to my client. The agents and I left the room. Excuse me. Counsel came out and said, you know, something to the effect of, this is what he's going to say. He doesn't know anything more. And we said, well, you know, if that's the case, then if he doesn't know anything more, then I guess there's no point in continuing with this. Now, moving on to the sentencing hearing itself, I noted in going back through the transcript that during the beginning of the sentencing hearing, prior to Judge Aspin stating what his position was, counsel stated that the defendant had no recollection of what of the other 8 trips, and I believe you would find that at page four through page 5 of the transcript. Flat out said he didn't take the trips, he doesn't have any knowledge about those trips. And then after Judge Aspin stated that he thought the information provided was not complete and not truthful, and counsel had an opportunity to speak with her client, then the proffer started to come in about, well, he remembers the other 8 trips, but they didn't have anything to do with heroin in distribution or importation, and also he has no knowledge or information about an identification ring. I had stated, when Judge Aspin asked, do you want to come in and do another proffer, I clearly said the government is always open to the defendant coming into a proffer, but we're not going to waste our time if we're going to hear the same thing over again. And that's the point where the judge said, fine, counsel, talk to your client. So the government remained open to a continued proffer, but when we learned it was going to be more of the same, at that point, there's no point in wasting our time. And I believe counsel was inaccurate when she said that the law in the Seventh Circuit is clear that you can proffer at any point through the end of the sentencing hearing. I believe the Alvarado case from early in 2003 said that you have to make your proffer prior to the start of the sentencing hearing. The defendant, as the case law is clear, has the burden.
Oh, unless the government says, okay, great.
Sure, if we agree to do it, and if it looks like it's going to be a productive proffer, then of course we can do that. But the point of a safety valve proffer is for the defendant to exhibit good faith cooperation. It's not to be treated as an interrogation, and I believe that the defendant did treat this as an interrogation where he would give only as much as he thought was necessary to give, and that's exhibited by when he gives a little bit more at the sentencing hearing. That's not what a safety valve is meant to cover, and I believe that's what happened in this case. I believe that the district court did not clearly err in deciding that the defendant's proffer was neither completely truthful nor complete. And for that reason, Your Honor, I believe that the sentence should be affirmed. Thank you.
Your Honor, in this case, you're quite correct that Judge Aspin did provide us an additional opportunity to present more information to the government, and the government did not object. In fact, stated that it was amenable to that procedure. After Mr. Iotti had provided all of the additional information that he had, his explanation, which is on the record in pages 14 through 15 of the transcript, the United States Attorney has stated that based on that he is not interested in further interview, and the assistant stated that is correct. Mr. Iotti took advantage of the opportunity that Judge Aspin had provided him to provide all information and explanations to the government, and the government simply rejected that because it wasn't going to believe him no matter what he said. Your Honor, unless you have further questions, I would just ask that this court reverse Judge Aspin's decision, remand this case for resentencing.
Thank you.
Thank you. The court will take the case under advisement. Thank you, counsel.